This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
They look like any European family.
Around the world, a sea of blue and yellow. From Berlin to Prague to Seoul. The colors of the Ukrainian flag, now a call to action.
Don't stay at home. Choose your voice. Go out.
Ukrainian cities have been bombed.
Worst violence in a year, and it's only day two of what Israel says could be a week-long bombardment of the Gaza Strip.
How would you compare the reporting in the media?
In Gaza, at least 44 Palestinians, including 15 children, have been killed in 3 days of an Israeli military bombardment.
Well, you just told me that we intercepted almost all the rockets and nobody got injured. I think there was three slight injuries in Israel. So why did you have to kill the 66 Palestinians? So 44.
Human shields.
Yeah, right. By the way, Israeli Defense Forces use human shields all the time. They will put Palestinian children in front of them and enter a building so they don't get shot. They're disgusting, okay? And then they pretend that, and then they pack everybody into Gaza. They got 2 million people in an open air prison. And they go, well, if I drop a bomb in the middle of your city, it's not my fault, it's your fault for having civilians there.
And we are here to show our solidarity to Ukrainian people, with Ukrainian people, and support them in their fight for their independence, sovereignty of the country.
Relatively civilized.
They look like any European family.
Christians, they're white.
You know, this is a relatively civilized, relatively European, I have to choose those words carefully too, city where you wouldn't expect that or hope that it's going to happen.
When they say, oh, civilized cities, and in another clip, well-dressed people, and this is not the third world, they really mean.
Despite my lovely headscarf here, it was given to me by some people. I'm not Muslim, I'm not Arab. My background is Christian. I'm very mainstream American, very patriotic American. I grew up in a military family. My father had served in World War II.
Wake up! There are over 300 million Americans that don't know what Islam is. This is why we are opening the Deen Center. The first of its kind, 35,000 square foot Dawah Center and Masjid to show America the beautiful message of Islam. Inshallah, with your help and donations, we can close on the property. Launch nationwide Dawah programs, a state-of-the-art production studio for online content, and an on-site Dawah center to show what true Islam is. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe if you haven't already, hit that notification bell. My next guest, Allison Weir, is an American human rights activist and president and founder of If Americans Only Knew. The mission of Americans, If Americans Only Knew, is to inform and educate the American public on issues of major significance that are unreported, underreported, or misreported in the American media. And without further ado, let's bring out our special guest, Allison Weir. How are you doing, Allison?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Thanks Great. For having me.
Thanks for coming back here on the Deen Show. How have you been?
Busy.
Busy, yes. So tell us latest developments. We read in the news more than 15 innocent young children. There's bombs flying again in Palestine there. Can you just bring our audience up to speed on what's going on, what caused this again to erupt?
Sure, I'll be glad to. Yes, the numbers keep growing because just today it looks like another 10-year-old girl in Gaza, a little girl who loved dancing, like many 10-year-olds, just died from wounds that she sustained during Israel's recent bombardment of Gaza. She's at least the second 10-year-old to just die from wounds from Israel's attack. It must be approximately 17 children now that have died in Gaza. It's something like 47 people in all were killed by Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. In addition to that, as if that weren't enough, there were demonstrations and various events in the West Bank. So Israel killed about four or five more people in the West Bank, some of them also minors. And also a lot of the reports are leaving out that I believe Israeli forces in their bombardment, you know, supposedly to get, you know, one or two resistance fighters, they just pummeled the whole area. And something like 1,000 homes were damaged. 1,000 homes. Yeah.
So yeah. That's under the pretext that what again?
Well, they were going after one, basically, it started with killing one senior commander in the Palestinian resistance forces in Gaza. On that strike, even on that strike, what U.S. media tended to underplay or maybe not even report is on that strike, they also killed a 16-year-old.
Mm.
What's causing it is a little unclear. The Israeli media are speculating, and this is probably has validity, that what's going on is that the prime Israel is getting ready for some very close races, electoral races, just the way the U.S. is. So there's lots of maneuvering to win the voters over. And the current Israeli Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, Israeli media are suggesting launch this to show how tough he is so that voters would vote for him, because sadly, many Israelis are very happy that at what Israel's doing, because, you know, they're propagandized too. So the idea is that this, he may have launched this just to show how tough he is to get votes.
Mm-hmm. How would you compare? I mean, anytime the innocent human life is taken, it's sad, no matter where it's at. So where you have in this situation, how would you compare, because you guys are watching this, you're seeing what's happening. How would you compare the reporting in the media in Ukraine compared to here, what's happening with the Palestinians in this part of the world?
Of course, it's just night and day, just night and day. So the American population and a lot of people are starting to pick this up, but they don't always know what's going on so much in Israel-Palestine. But of course, you know, the media, sadly, most of them, the legacy corporate media, basically have an agenda quite often at the top. The reporters lower down are trying to do a good job usually, working very hard, not especially well paid. But at the top, there's an agenda that often matches the agenda of the Democratic Party establishment and the U.S. establishment in general. So right now, the establishment has clearly decided, a journalist named Matt Taibbi has documented this very well. So Russia's the enemy. Ukraine is the victim. The fact that NATO expanded in ways that were broke promises that had been made are left out. So we see the suffering and devastation in Ukraine, which is good. I think we should always know when people are dying and suffering. But the establishment doesn't think that people should know about Palestinians to the same extent and to people in Gaza. So, you know, on the one hand, they see the suffering. It makes them empathize with those people, want to help them in Ukraine. They don't see really what's happening in Russia. And they don't see, you know, what much longer than Ukraine has been going on in the Palestinian occupied territories, especially in Gaza, but also often in the West Bank. If they did, that's why we named our organization 20 years ago, If Americans Knew. Because if Americans knew that we're giving Israel well over $10 million per day of our tax money, when many people are struggling to make that money, and the way Israel is using it so often to oppress Palestinian families, you know, it's always portrayed as, oh, it's just Hamas, or it's against the fighters, or against, quote, terrorists. And people don't see, no, it's against an entire population. It's against families, it's against children, against seniors, against people that have been suffering for, what is it now, 15 years of a suffocating siege by Israel. So if Americans knew that and knew that our money is funding it, I think they would demand very different U.S. policies.
Do you think if Americans really knew what was going on and, you had what was done in Ukraine with Russia. You had all these sanctions and you had all the sympathy and support for what's happening in Ukraine. How much, because you don't get the same sympathy. A lot of times there's a spin put on things and people are kind of ignorant to really what's happening. But if they really, really knew, you think it'd be a different story?
I think it would be a very different story. Consistent, you know, most populations, the majority of around the world are good people that want to just live their lives and not cause suffering to other people. You know, it's pretty simple. That's how most people are. You know, you just see that around you. But they can be propagandized. That happens also with lots of populations. So the American population, what I've seen, and I've been working on this issue now for over 20 years, and what I've seen is among the sort of left half of the country, the people that are tend to be Democrats and progressives and liberals, have started to learn more about what actually is going on in Palestine. And the sympathy has changed to a large degree, not among the power brokers or the campaign donors, who are usually hardcore Israel partisans, but among the grassroots. There really is much more understanding and sympathy for Palestinians. However, among conservatives, who are also good people, you know, who care about human beings, but in that population, we haven't done as good a job of reaching them, and they're getting a great deal of propaganda that suggests, oh, you know, Palestinians are terrorists, they're attacking poor Israel. They often think it's the opposite of what's going on. So that population is often less informed. It hasn't always been that way. Some of the people who first started exposing the real facts about Israel-Palestine were Republicans. Paul Findlay, Chuck Percy, Pete McCloskey, Patrick Buchanan. So that population also, when they learn the facts, become sympathetic to Palestinians. But most, sadly, many, many conservatives are very, very misled on this issue by the U.S. media.
How do you address that when it comes up? The response that someone says, oh, they're terrorists, they're this, they're that. For someone like yourself, who's been an American, who's been watching this for over 20 years. So when someone comes up and makes this kind of statement, how do you like to address that?
I like to give them the basic facts. I like to emphasize I'm not, as despite my lovely headscarf here that was given to me by some people, I'm not Muslim. I'm not Arab. My background is Christian. I'm very mainstream American, very patriotic American. I grew up in a military family. My father had served in World War II. So I like to give, you know, first of all, when you talk to an American and say, well, you know, the media are very biased, they always agree. But they think that their own media are not real, you know, are not biased. They agree that some media are, but they still believe what they're getting. So you have to sort of explain, no, you know, then they'll tell you what's going on. And you'll say, well, where did you learn that? And of course, it's from the media. You know, very few people have gone over there. Very few people have the time to independently study all these important issues, more likely to have studied, if anything, a local issue. So it's in a one-to-one conversation, it's difficult because there's so much to overcome. But you can do it bit by bit by bit if you can have a long enough conversation. Fortunately, I have, in the past years, had the chance to speak many places where I can get up at a podium and I have an hour to explain what's going on. And at the end of that hour, one time I did this in Northern California. And afterwards, some of us were having dinner at a nearby restaurant. And this older couple, senior citizens about my age, stopped by our table and said, I want to tell you, we were at your talk and you completely turned us around on this issue.
Wow.
So that's because they had a chance to hear for an hour lecture with evidence, not with hyperbole, not with a lot of, you know, not overly emotional. Of course, I do get emotional at times during it, but basically just laying out the real facts and providing the evidence for that. So when you can do that, many people will be reached. But in a one-to-one conversation, of course, it's harder to have the time to do that. Right. But I think But not to be discouraged, I have met people that are working on telling people and working about trying to bring justice for Palestinians that are mainstream Americans like me, and I'll ask, well, you know, how did you get involved? What woke you up to this? And quite often they'll say, well, there was a coworker that was Palestinian, or when I was a student, one of the other students was Palestinian. So many of them were wakened up by just, getting to know somebody who was a Palestinian American or a Muslim American or an Arab American that would tell them what was going on. And that often does reach people. Mm-hmm. Because most people don't have strong views on it. So you'll hear from the people that have, think they know what's going on and are very, forceful. But most people don't have a strong view. They find it a confusing issue and they don't know much about it.
So even with the gas prices going up and with all the inflation, that $10 million a day, which probably most Americans don't know that their hard-earned tax money is going towards this, $10 million a day, even with the inflation and gas prices, has it gone down at all, or it's still $10 million a day?
It's still, it rarely goes down. But wow. The trajectory of the money to Israel is that basically it sort of steadily creeps upward. And it's largely because the media rarely cover it. Most people have no idea how much money goes there. Mm. And that shows right there the kind of cover-up we're getting and the kind of very filtered information. Because, major facts people tend to know. So wouldn't we know the number one recipient of our tax money for decades has been Israel? Now and then there are blips. Right now, Ukraine is getting a huge amount. And people know that. But before that, for many years, Israel was the top recipient, and almost nobody knew that. When I first started on this issue, I live in the San Francisco area. So we looked into the San Francisco coverage of Palestine, Israel in general. And among the things we looked at is how often did they tell people how much money goes to Israel out of hundreds of stories on the topic? We discovered it was only three times that they even mentioned it, usually down low, and never did they really give the full amount. So, it's some media now are starting to give that. After 20 years, I think our organization and others have started to have an impact. I think the coverage is not as bad as it used to be at all, but it's still very, very filtered.
Hasn't the international community and many of the courts deemed this an illegal occupation, the illegal settlements? Isn't this something that is just unanimous?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yes. That's the international consensus. International law is that these Israeli settlements, and really in some ways, even the language, of course, is very skewed. Because these are illegal Israeli Jewish colonies on somebody else's land. And I don't use that word because I'm anti-Jewish. Many of my allies working on this issue are Jewish Americans and some are Israelis. But
this is really important. You have Israelis and Jews who are working. Like I have a good friend, Miko Pilit. Have you heard of Miko Pilit?
Yes, I know.
Yunmiko, yeah, he's also an Israeli Jewish man whose father was the signer of the Declaration of Independence. Father was a general in the Israeli army. And he's also just one great example of someone who is just fighting for the truth.
That's
like,
right.
Like yourself. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, but these illegal colonies, you can't just call them Israeli colonies because a portion, about 20% of the Israeli population are Palestinians. The ones that were not completely pushed out of in 1948 and then again in 1967, there's a portion that have remained there. They often were pushed off their own land, out of their own homes, but they're still supposedly Israeli citizens. They're, of course, not allowed to live in those Israeli colonies. So they're really Jewish-only colonies. Often, a Jewish American from Brooklyn might have moved there and is living on land that very recently was stolen from Palestinians who had owned it for generations. So that's illegal. That's not allowed in under the Geneva Conventions and other some, you know, other international law. That's not allowed. You're not allowed to steal people's land. You're not allowed to move your population onto somebody else's land. You're not allowed to, you know, consciously change the demography. It's all, this is all well articulated in international law. And this is recognized internationally, but in the US, that's almost never mentioned. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's very important, if Americans only knew, because they understand that here, if one country comes over and starts to occupy and take land, like in Ukraine, over here, they've been doing it for how long, coming and stealing the land, but you can't, you got to be consistent. You can't have double standards, correct?
That's right. And again, these are American principles. You know, some people try to say, oh, you know, Israel is so much like America, that's why we support it. No, it isn't. You know, we have a constitution, they don't. And we have a lot of principles that we believe in. We believe in not establishing a state religion. That was right in the constitution. Israel's based on a state religion. I think most Americans are very strongly committed to, you know, we use the word fair. We want people to be fair. You know, I have grandsons playing Little League and they're very upset if something's not fair. So we want fairness. I think we believe in justice. We, of course, were founded by a violent revolution, the Revolutionary War, you know, 1776 period of time. So we would be very sympathetic to people. We fought against oppression and, you know, taxation without representation, all of that. That's embedded in our national history. So we would be very, very, we would identify with Palestinians who are fighting for their own independence and justice. Mm-hmm. So these are very American principles. The only thing that's getting in the way is that people are being misinformed on one of the most important issues in the world. You know, not only because of the suffering it causes to human beings on the other side of the world, but it has destabilized the entire region for decades. It's caused wars in which Americans have fought and died, sadly, for Israel. It's caused U.S. policies that cause hostility to the United States. So this is not only bad for the people in the region, this is very, very damaging to Americans also. And if people knew that, they would be upset too.
How do you like to address the issue, you know, the name calling that happens, and then the stigma that gets attached to someone, the term anti-Semitic? I've had also rabbis come on the program who make it lucidly clear that Judaism, this is against the teachings of Orthodox Judaism. They will say this is the Zionism, this is the problem. So these are rabbis who I've had on, Rabbi Weiss, Rabbi Shapiro, and others who come on who are strong voice also. But then this term gets thrown out, you know, anti-Semitic, they'll throw it on you hoping it'll stick. And also that, oh, these are just Muslims, they hate Jews. I don't know if you've heard this also. How do you respond to this?
Well, that is a tactic. You know, that's a tactic. Being called anti-Semitic is very offensive and very damaging. Very damaging and very offensive. So they do that all the time. And after a while, you just have to, you know, that's what's going to happen when you speak about this. And it should not silence people. Mm-hmm. Mudslinging should not silence people. So in my own case, of course, that was done immediately. Even before, like now, part of what I try to do is tell people about the you know, influence of a very powerful special interest, the pro-Israel lobby. But even before I did that, even when I had traveled, as I mentioned, I think on your earlier program, I had traveled over to Palestine, to the occupied territories in early 2001, before 9/11, and saw firsthand what was going on, took pictures of what was going on. And so when I came back and started giving talks, showing people my pictures, telling what I personally had seen, not even mentioning the Israel lobby, I wasn't very aware of that yet. Just for doing that, I was called anti-Semitic, because there's an effort to conflate Israeli actions with all Jews, which is unfair. So the irony is that if anybody's anti-Semitic, it's often the pro-Israel establishment, because they're trying to say, oh, these are Jewish actions. No, all Jewish Americans are connected to this. So to me, that's anti-Semitic, and that's not what I say or other activists working on this issue say. Mm-hmm. What's even worse is that not only have they been doing that, but that's at least contrary to the definition of anti-Semitism, because the traditional dictionary definition of anti-Semitism is bias or hostility against Jewish people. It doesn't mention anything about telling facts about Israel. But now there's been an effort for a number of years. This has gone on for a long time. I've documented in a long article where Israel partisans have now fabricated a new definition of anti-Semitism in which many criticisms and facts and statements about Israel are now under this new definition, quote, anti-Semitic.
Wow. So before we conclude, I wanted to share with you, if Americans only knew, because this is our vision at the Dean Show, is to bridge the gap of misunderstanding. And this is one of the issues that's so important that we can work on together as Muslims, as Christians. I think it's so important. There's a lot of misconceptions. And I think that if these things are clear, if we can sit, we can talk, clear these misconceptions. And I just wanted to share with the audience, and I don't know, you might know this, you might not, but if Americans only knew, because obviously as a Christian, the one who's most beloved to Christians is Jesus. But did you know, Allison, that Muslims love Jesus also? It's an article of faith to believe and love Jesus, obviously as a mighty messenger, not as a God or literal son of God, but we love him. We say, peace be upon him. There's another person that we love dearly. And that's just like, you know, imagine if someone says, someone is praising or talking good of someone you love so deeply, your mother, or your father, you know, say, I have high respect for your parents, you know. But we're saying we have high love and respect for someone who is so close to Christians, Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's a whole chapter named after her in the Quran. And she any picture out there that you see of her resembles like what you're wearing right now, the scarf, yes. And then the last point is, you know, the main message of Islam, which simply means to submit your will to one and only God, is the message of pure monotheism, of worshiping the creator, not the creation, and being morally upright, being kind and just with your neighbors. Doesn't matter if it's Christian, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, doesn't matter. So because a lot of times the media and a lot of times corrupt politicians and others with, you know, a hate agenda, they'll push out and propagate that Muslims are coming to get you, they're the boogeyman. So that kind of fosters a division, a hate, at least a violence, then we can't work together. You understand? So
that's right.
I just wanted to share that with you. And did you know some of these things that I just mentioned?
Well, I've learned them. You know, I didn't really know them before. I was not against Muslims, but I wasn't very informed on them, of course. But now in 20 years, I've learned a lot, not just about Israel-Palestine, but Muslims, you know, since there are many Christianity, of course, as you know, but most Americans forget, also began in Palestine. So, but, you know, the majority population for centuries has been Muslim, you know, and so I've met many Muslims here in the United States and, of course, in Palestine.
Were they coming to chop your head off, or did you feel?
When I go there, I've traveled alone around by myself, with people coming up, smiling at me, welcoming me, often inviting me into their homes, giving me wonderful tea. So I've experienced that firsthand. And usually, when I travel, you know, since my custom, I dress modestly, of course, which is appropriate. But I don't wear a headscarf. You know, people can see it's not hard to guess I'm a foreigner, but you know, I'm not the only one who does that, because their Christian neighbors don't either. And they live side by side, they work side by side. So I've firsthand experienced that. And I've had many people, you know, I've read about Islam, and I've had people talk, you know, I know that Mary's very revered. Jesus is very revered. I feel that the religions are very, very close. Very, very similar.
Yes.
And that we have much more in common.
Much more in common, yes.
So, you know, of course, there are extremists in every religion. There are extremists in Christianity, in Islam, and Judaism. There are extremists. Mm-hmm. And again, the Israel partisans, the worst ones, try to say that the small portion of Muslims who are extremists, that represents Islam. Mm-hmm. That's completely unfair and untrue. Just like saying some extremist Christian who does something horrible represents Christians. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. It's trying to say these, you know, there's a great deal of extremism in Israel, of Jewish extremism, But that does not, you know, quite a bit, really, we don't read about it. But that does not represent Judaism or Jewish Israelis or Jewish Americans. So this is common sense. But, you know, if you're barraged with often very slick propaganda, people don't always realize that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we commend you doing some wonderful work. Thank you so much. If people wanted to, be it be a Christian church or a Muslim organization, whoever, and they wanted to learn more, how could they get a hold of you to invite you? Are you still accepting invitations? If they wanted to hear this 1 hour talk, they really wanted to get informed and make an educated decision.
I'd be glad to do that. You can go to our website, ifamericansknew.org, ifamericansknew.org. There's a phone number there. There are emails. They can email me, allisonweir@gmail.com. So I'd be very happy to do that. And I always have to say, anybody that wants to, please feel free to make donations. It's completely tax deductible. And we use that information to make videos, to do articles. I've written a book. I think I mentioned, in fact, I hope people will buy my book and give it to others. So we use that information every way we can. We're working on a major project now that's going to hit next week. All of it requires money. So donations are very welcome too.
God bless you. God bless you for educating the American public, the world, on really what's going on and being a voice for understanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you. And thank you to our guest, Allison, for being with us. And you can see, this is a person who has dedicated over 20 years and has gotten informed and is willing to inform you to come out to your community. And it's about, if you are a truth seeker, a God-conscious person, even if the truth goes against yourself or what you've been taught, you're a person, because you have God consciousness, because you want to do what's morally right, you're going to go ahead and look beyond those prejudices, those biases, and you're going to look beyond the media hype, and you're going to dig for the truth. A lot of times you got to go through layers and layers and layers of falsehood and deception to get to the truth. Otherwise, you end up staying in that pit of darkness, following your desires, and where are you going to end up from there? So it's a sad event. Anytime innocent life is lost, and this is not a Muslim Jewish thing.
If you ask them that the Jews and Muslims lived in peace for over 1,000 years, and why is it suddenly now that the Muslims, suddenly these guys allegedly hate Jews? Clearly. And suddenly want to kill them? Clearly, it's Zionism that's the problem.
We were accepted in these Muslim and Arab lands. We believe in one God, and we were accepted. We have different ways of serving God, but yet, we were respected, and even the Muslim religion requires of that, the Muslim people to provide protection and hospitality, and they did carry that out. That's clear. Nobody could refute this fact. Although, unfortunately, Zionism and the Zionists try constantly to vilify the Muslim people and try to recreate a scenario of as if we have some deep embedded religious conflict and hate between Jews and Muslims. And that is so deplorable, despicable, and really, there's no words, it's a Nakba.
We've discussed this so many times. We brought Israeli rabbis, friends of mine also who've come on, who are people who are advocating for the rights of human beings who are living in an open-air prison in that side of the world. Can you imagine, put yourself where you had limited resources, your electricity is being cut off, the food that your neighbor has, you can't have because he's on this side of the fence, and the oppression with the checkpoints, et cetera, et cetera. So this is just something that if it's happening in Ukraine, then the whole world is up in arms, but it's happening here to Muslims and Christians, and most of the world is, you heard it, silent. So let's be fair, let's be consistent. And remember, you know, if we go back in history, you see how Jews fled persecution. You have a David Warrenstein, who is an academic. Islam saved the Jewry. So if you really want to know what Islam stance is, whereas, you know, when Islam was at the pinnacle, superpower, Jews were fleeing persecution, coming to live in Muslim lands. And Muslims are simply those who, what? You've heard it so many times here on the Deen Show. Muslims are those who submit their will to the one and only creator of the heavens and earth, just like Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. Muslims who want to live in peace with their neighbors, with their countrymen, but they put God first and foremost, the one creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you didn't know, you got to learn that Muslims love Jesus. There's a whole chapter named after his blessed mother. And you'll continue to learn more if you tune into the Deen Show. And make sure you also support the Mega Dawah Center we're trying to open, sharing the purpose of life with the people, clearing the many misconceptions dedicated to that, and doing good in the community. So support the Deen Center. We're almost there on what we need to finish and close on the property. So make sure you do your part and subscribe right now so you can get all the latest shows sent to you. Hit the notification bell and we'll see you next time here, God willing, inshallah, on the Deen Show. And in the greetings of Jesus, who would say, Shalom alaikum. We say, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
ما شاء الله تبارك الرحمن برنامج أخونا إيدي جميل جدا علشان غير المسلمين يشاهدون ما هو الإسلام وما هي تعاليم الإسلام حتى يهتدوا بإذن الله إلى دين الله سبحانه وتعالى أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى له الثبات والتوفيق.
Help us purchase this property to build the Deen Center. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you brothers and sisters. افرح وانسى احزاني فيها الضحكه
محصوله داعبها بكل اشجاني. MashaAllah.
Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you tune in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide.